This is just one of those worst days ever. I just had to call off Meyer because I'm snowed in and can't get out. So it's like, it sucks. So I had to work yesterday, 2 to 9:30, and it was bad yesterday too. Some people at my job, they don't drive, so they had to try to Uber. And yesterday, because of how bad the weather is and how bad it is right now, none of the Uber drivers are out because they don't want to fucking get their cars wrecked up because of how bad the snow is. My uncle had borrowed the shovel yesterday for his job, and he left it at work, so we got no shovel to shovel ourselves out. So I'm stuck inside my home right now. He wanted me to go over to the landlord to go ask them for a fucking shovel, and I'm like, well, I'm not walking through this fucking snow and tripping and falling because you want me to try to get a shovel from them. And then he says, go to the hardware store. I said, I'm not fucking walking to the hardware store because of all the snow. I said, and my mom, as with all her health issues yesterday, she had to come pick me up at 9:30, and she had to shovel, she had to, not exactly shovel, but she had to try to brush the snow off. And she almost fell 3 different times trying to brush the snow off the car yesterday. I was like, yeah, this weather's getting really bad. And I was supposed to work 9 to 3, but I can't get out. So I'm like, so I had to call off. And of course, because of me being snowed in, they're gonna more than likely charge me a point for calling off. I think it's either 1 point or two. I think it might be a point. So it's like, it's no fucking joke with this type of weather. And it's supposed to get bad. I'm supposed to work tomorrow night too. And hopefully the weather isn't too bad tomorrow night for me to try to get out. And technically, you're supposed to call off 2 hours in advance, and I just called 20 minutes ago. So, because I just woke up, so it's like. So, even with me calling off, I said it gives me time a little bit today to try to post a couple videos. And you'll see how bad it. And, I. And you'll see how bad the snow is if you check out my YouTube channel at Ryan Van Wyk, or check out my, Instagram page, because I just posted a picture on Instagram about my, about what my apartment outside looks like, and you can see all the snow build up. I'm like, yeah, there's no way anybody's getting out for that. So it gives me time to maybe post a couple videos, maybe read a, maybe finish up reading one of my books that I was reading, and then I can move on to the next one after that. I just picked up actually not picked up, but I did see the Yankees are making big signings. I just saw the New York Yankees had picked up former Cub player Justin Wilson, and they just signed Jay Bruce. I said those are gonna Jay Bruce is actually not bad, but let's see how he does because he was okay when he played for New York Mets, but I don't know if he still has it in him or not. I guess we'll find out. Because even though I am a Cubs fan, but after the Cubs, my second choice for baseball watching is the Yankees. Let's see what we got today for anything else. Gotta look for something here. Hold on, shit. I think, and then somebody picked up this one guy, Robinson Chirinos, and I'm trying to remember what team picked him up yesterday. Okay, yeah, he just signed with the New York Yankees. So he's gonna be like the backup catcher. That's not what I'm looking for, so let me close that one out. But unless my uncle can find a shovel or something like that, we're not getting out. I guess he's gonna try to get a shovel. But it's too late anyway, since I'm calling off. Since I already called off anyway, so there's no way in hell I'm getting out. And the White House is extending moratorium on the foreclosures until June 30th, which gives it about 4 months. I just got a notification yesterday to do my taxes, but I haven't filed them yet. But I do got the form, so I can file them when I need to. I try to get it done as fast as I can, so that I'm not waiting around for the money when it comes. And I know that because I work, because with me working at my at the grocery store Meijer, and I get paid a lot more than what I did at my other job, that I should be getting more back in taxes because I make more by the hour. Because when I, because with me working at Meijer, I make a little over 10. When I worked at McDonald's, I made a little over 8. And then when I worked at Target, I made 15, but I'm not at Target anymore because they decided to let people go that were part-time. Or not exactly part-time, but if you were seasonal, you had to bust your ass off to try to stay. I busted my ass off and still they let me go. And I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm like, well, it's your loss. So now I ended up at Meijer because they pay a little bit more, and I'm like, and I was looking for a job that paid more anyway. Now we're looking at here, let me see here. A majority of the Americans say that they want Trump to be to be barred from holding office again. I'm one of those people. I do not want him running for office again. He fucked up. We don't need him in office again to fuck up anymore. Now I'm looking at everything else here on my thing to see what we can find here. Yeah, because I got like 80 pages left in my one book, I think, from this book called Rage. It's a political book. That's the one where Bob Woodward interviewed Trump about the pandemic, and Trump downplayed it and all that stuff. So it's like one of those things that. Right now, there really isn't much going on right now. Let me see here. What we got here? Let me see. Let me see. Travel. In Athens, Greece, I said a rare snow blanket basically halts vaccinations, so nobody can get to the vaccination site. That's unusual for Greece to have that. And Dubai, I said airport air, the airports basically sees a 70% drop in passenger traffic due to the pandemic. Google is fined $1 million for misleading French hotel rankings. That's not a good thing to do. And two are dead in Texas due to the sub-freezing cold weather. And usually, Texas doesn't get snow, but obviously, I'm seeing like an ice storm and snow and snow thing on this picture I'm looking at. Yeah, this is gonna suck. Now, I wouldn't be this stupid to try this, but in Alberta, Canada, the world's longest hockey game carried on in a ghastly cold weather. 40 people took turns playing hockey in an outdoor ring 24 hours a day, 7 days a week since February 4th, all in the name of cancer research. But temperatures had plunged at times between a bone-shaking negative 40 degrees and negative 67 degrees Fahrenheit. And also minus, it's like the negative 40 and the negative 55 in Celsius weather. But the pucks were shattered as players passed them along the boards, skate blades broke in half, and pieces of mass fell off as glue let go, and the goalie pads cracked. The game was played on the rural property during extreme cold weather warning that persisted for much of the last 10 days. The players were troopers, said Kate Gallagher, one of the event's organizers, and they were warriors. The seventh edition of the game has raised about $1.5 million for cancer research at the University of Alberta. The game hit the 252nd hour goal at dawn Monday and will break its own Guinness Book of World Records. The final score, according to the event's Facebook page, was 2,649 to 2,528 for Team Hope, but the real winners are the cancer patients at the Cross at the Cross Cancer Institute, the post said. So that's where the money's going to be donated to. But I wouldn't be that stupid to play that game that long. And with Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin just posted this, and it says the Wisconsin legislator is scheduled to vote today on approving a $500 million bill tax cut for businesses that received loans to help them keep employees on the payroll during the pandemic and one of several measures related to the coronavirus that is slated for consideration. The bill cutting business taxes the bill is cutting business taxes by $540 million. By the middle of 2023, and it was up for a vote in both the Senate and the Assembly. If it's passed, it would then go to the Democratic Governor Tony Evers, who was noncommittal last week about whether he would sign or vote to veto the measure. But the bill would benefit recipients of loans administered through the federal government's Paycheck Protection Program. But the loans are already tax deductible under federal law, and Republicans say that they're simply trying to bring the state tax code into compliance. But the Democratic opponent said that the move would blow a hole in the state budget. And the Senate was voting Tuesday on a myriad of the virus-related bills, including ones to bar employees from mandating vaccines for workers, but not to allow and not to allow prisoners to get priority for vaccinations and prohibit the closing of churches during the pandemic. And all of those measures were likely to be vetoed by Evers should they pass in the assembly. Now for car news, and I could see this, In London, England, the struggling luxury car brand Jaguar will go fully electric in 2025. The British company said Monday as it outlined a plan to phase out the international the in, actually no inter, in, the internal combustion engines. The Jaguar Land Rover, which is owned by the Indian conglomerate Tata Motors, hopes that the move will help turn around the fortunes of the 86-year-old Jaguar brand, which for many epitomizes class but has struggled in recent years. The switch to an electric future will involve moving car production from JLR's Castle Bromwich factory east of the central England city of Birmingham to nearby Solihull. The chief executive, Thierry Bolloré, said the firm is exploring opportunities to repurpose the Castle Bromwich plant, but leading to speculation it could be used for battery production. The Jaguar Land Rover also said that the far more profitable the Land Rover brand will be, it will produce its first all-electric model in 2024 as it too phases out the internal combustion engines. And they said basically we have all the ingredients at our disposal to reimagine the business and the experiences our customers seek to reimagine. Our benchmark of luxury, Bolloré said. But the move was welcomed by British Transport Secretary Grant Shappas as a huge step for British car manufacturing. The Society of the Motor Manufacturers and Traders, the British car industry's lobby group, said the announcement represents an injection of confidence into the sector, which has suffered over the past year during the coronavirus pandemic, and it's a roadmap to a future that is built around sustainability, with electrified and hydrogen models, as well as investment in connected and digital technologies. Yeah, so they're trying to build up everything on that one. There's a guy that he follows me on Instagram, and he also follows me on my Twitter. Not just Twitter, but he also follows me on YouTube. He just sent me a picture of where he lives at. He lives in Nebraska, and he said it's 20. He said it's negative 22, and even he snowed in too. I'm like, that's bad enough. I gotta look at my weather. See, my weather says. Let me see here. See, we're not in the negatives yet, but we're at 12 degrees, so it's fucking freezing. Supposedly, it was supposed to get up to 48 today, to 48 degrees today, with a chance of rain and snow. But I'm like, fuck it, I'm not going into work. I said it's fucking cold out. I don't want to be out there, and I'm snowed in, so I might as well just take my bets and get an appointment called off for it. Let's see what else we got here. Let's go to US News. In Wilmington, North Carolina, it says we got three people that are dead and 10 injured in a North Carolina tornado. I said, really, in this type of weather? Fuck me. And it hit just after midnight yesterday. That's right around the time I was getting up for, that was after I got off of work. I heard about this one yesterday, and I know people were posting it yesterday. But former football player Vincent Jackson was found dead in a hotel room. Former NFL wide receiver Vincent Jackson was found dead Monday at a Florida hotel room days after authorities spoke with him as part of like what they call a welfare check. According to the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, a housekeeper had basically discovered the 38-year-old's body at around 11:30 a.m. Monday. And there were no signs of trauma, and the medical examiner's office was looking into a cause of death at the Homewood Suites in Brandon near Tampa. The sheriff's officials said his family initially had reported Jackson missing on Wednesday, and deputies tracked him down to the hotel 2 days later, and they spoke with him and canceled the missing persons cases. The sheriff, Chad Cronister, said his department had opened an investigation. He says, "My heart aches for the many loved ones that Vincent Jackson leaves behind." From his wife and children to the Buccaneers Nation that adored him, Cronister said in a statement that was posted on social media. He said that Vincent Jackson was a devoted man who put his family and community above everything else, the sheriff said, noting that Jackson, a South Tampa resident, was made an honorary deputy. But Jackson played for the San Diego Chargers for 7 seasons before becoming a free agent because of a contract dispute. And then he went on to play 5 seasons with Tampa And basically, he retired from football back in 2016. He recorded 57 receiving touchdowns and was selected to the Pro Bowl three different times. He's the son of a military parent of military parents, and Jackson founded the Jackson and Action 83 Foundation, which is a nonprofit to support military families. He basically says that we're all mourning the loss of our beloved Vincent Jackson. His wife and family ask that everyone respect their privacy at this time, which I could agree with. Even his teammates and his team and the team and the team that he played with are mourning his loss and stuff like that. His greatest achievement as a Buccaneer, with the four consecutive nominations that he earned, is our Walter Payton Man of the Year, the team said, referring to the award given to NFL players for their service to the community. Let's see, we got 35 Montana bison that's moved to a South Dakota reservation. Yeah, I don't know if you guys, I don't know if you guys had heard about it, but they had spotted a white buffalo and or a white bison or something like that. That's usually rare, and it was born and it was bred and born in some type of farm thing, but and white bison are usually rare. But for this 35 Montana bison, let's see if it mentions anything here. 35 bison have been moved from Montana to their home on the Rosebud Indian Reservation in South Dakota as part of an effort to expand the herd. The bison are a rare gift from the American Prairie Reserve in the North Central Montana area, and the Billings Gazette reported that the Rosebud Sioux Tribe's goal is to expand the herd near Mission, South Dakota, to 1,500 bison spread across 28,000 acres, which is 13 which is 113 square kilometers, and it would make it the largest the tribal managed bison herd in the U.S. The herd is currently numbered at 134 bison, and American Prairie has agreed to contribute up to 170. When the buffalo are strong, we will be strong," said Wisdom Hound Little Elk chief executive of who's the chief executive of the Rosebud Economic Development Corporation, and he oversees the Wallacoota Buffalo Range near Mission, South Dakota. "We are doing our part to ensure the genetic health and longevity of our buffalo relatives," Little Elk said in a post on the tribe's website. But the American Prairie Reserve has also shipped four bison to One Spirit, which is a nonprofit organization serving the Lakota people of the Pine Ridge Reservation in southeastern or southwestern South Dakota. But One Spirit website says that it supports the Lakota community by providing resources that allow them to meet the needs of their people according to their own culture, traditions, and values. "And we prioritized the partnerships with the native tribes who are working to restore a deeper cultural, spiritual, and economic connection to the animals," said Allison Fox, the chief executive of the American Prairie Reserve. But since 2009, the American Prairie has distributed more than 400 bison to the conservation and tribal herds in Montana, Colorado, Nebraska, Arizona, South Dakota, and Oklahoma. But the return of the buffalo to our lands is a common goal and vision shared with tribal elders. The tribal council, wildlife managers, and spiritual leaders said that the Bronx Speak Thunder, who helps manage the Fort Belk that Bison Markham said. Yeah, but they had found a white bison the other day, and I said that's usually rare. Let's see what we got here. For anybody who can make it into work today, I said, depending on what area you live in, if it snows any bad, I said just be careful because I can't get out. So, but it's not to say that And it's not to say that you guys can't, but you guys should give it a try. At least try to get out and see what goes on. Shit. The Bulls won yesterday. At least I'm happy about that. But still, it's not the best game that anybody. Even though they did win 120-112, that's barely a win for me. But they're not going to go anywhere this year anyway. They don't have anybody. But Wendell Carter just came back, so he's activated from the injured list. But the Bulls still have Otto Porter out, and Otto Porter, I don't know what made the Bulls want him, but the guy has been injury prone since he's been with the Bulls. He spent more time on the injured list than he has playing, actually, so he hasn't turned out to be the player that I was expecting him to be. But once he does come back, let's see if he does any good. And I was watching my show yesterday, but I spent yesterday I was watching Sons of Anarchy before going into work, and I said that's one of my favorite shows to watch, even though the show's not on the air anymore, but it was one of my favorite shows. Yeah. And because of the weather being bad yesterday, my nose kept running, my nose kept dripping. I had to keep running to the bathroom yesterday because of that shit. Let's see what the hell this is about. Oh, what a dumbass. China has arrested a scammer whose gang made $3 million from selling water, and they were trying to sell it as a COVID-19 vaccination shot. Kong Mu had made about close to $3 million by selling 58,000 syringes of salt water that the Chinese authorities said he told customers that he obtained the shots through internal channels, state media said. But Kong and his associates earned about 18 million yuan, which is about close to $3 million in U.S. money as a result of the scheme. But China has arrested the leader of the gang that made nearly 3 million from selling shots of water disguised as COVID-19 vaccination shots, according to a state-run media. The Supreme People's Procuratorate, China's top prosecuting body, said that Kong Mu and his associates had filled 58,000 syringes with saline solution and sold them across China, according to the Xinhua news agency. Kong, who was arrested on Christmas Day of last year, had boasted to customers that he had obtained the shots from vaccine manufacturers through internal channels, the Global Times reported. The group earned about 2.8 million, almost three, as a result of the scheme, according to the Global Times. In one case last November, Kong had sold about 2,000 shots of the fake vaccine to another suspected criminal named Lee for about $61,000. Lee, who shipped about 600 of those doses internationally via Hong Kong on November 12th, went on to make about $140,000 profit. The bust on Kong was first announced on February 2nd when around 80 million people were arrested. When actually 80 people were arrested in relation to the vaccine scams, according to China's Ministry of Public Security. But on Monday, the Supreme People's Procurator said it would deepen its crackdown on the fake vaccine manufacturing, the Global Times reported, adding that there were more than 21 cases of major vaccine fraud across China. The BBC reported that some counterfeit vaccines had been sold to hospitals in China at inflated prices, and that some were scammers that were hiring village doctors to administer fake vaccines to people in their cars. But as of this month, which is February, China has approved only two of its own vaccines for public use. Yeah. There's so much shit going on. I said, if I didn't have to see snow again, I'd be fucking happy. I said, the snow's just annoying the shit out of me, just having to look at it. And then also to throw this in, I said, in Egypt, Egypt believes that they found what could be the oldest brewery in all of the world, and it dates back to 3,000 years ago. I said, hell, that would be kind of surprising to go see that. But now, in Texas, because of the snowstorm, they lost all their power, basically. There's 8,000 people without power. Let's see if we can get back here. I got two more weeks before I'm eligible for and before I hit my 1 year mark at Meijer, and then about a week after that, then I could take, and then about a week after my 1 year mark, because you gotta be at Meijer 1 year, 1 week before you can be eligible for vacation. So I'll be eligible for vacation March 4th. I'm probably not going to take... I'll probably take a vacation this year just to be away from Meijer for a week. But I probably won't go anywhere because with this COVID shit going on, there's really nowhere to go to right now without them screwing you over anywhere you go. So I'm guessing I'm just going to sit at home and... But I'll probably take my vacation right around my birthday because that's usually what I would do. That's just funny. A woman who paid to fly a convict Trump banner over Mar-a-Lago said that she acted to stop a dictator. Okay, let's give her a fucking medal. A woman who paid for a series of critical Trump banners to fly over his Mar-a-Lago resorts says that she acted to stop a dictator. She told HuffPost when Trump started talking about a third term, and then chanted a, and then started to chant at his Klan rally of 12 more years. She's like, I thought this is it. Trump is currently living at the luxury Florida golf resort. A woman had paid for a banner calling for Trump to be locked up and to be flown over his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida, said that she did so because she believed that the former squatter is a dictator that needs to be stopped. The woman in question spoke to HuffPost anonymously after paying for two aerial banners calling for Trump's conviction ahead of his impeachment trial in the Senate last week, where he was ultimately acquitted, which is bullshit because we know he was fucking guilty. One sign which flew over Mar-a-Lago had read, "Convict Trump and lock him up," while another flew over to Daytona International Speedway in Florida, reading, "GOP, grow a fucking spine and convict Trump." When Trump started talking about a third term and then started to chant at a Klan rally of 12 years, she says, I thought this is it. That's a dictator. The woman, whose identity was confirmed by the airline company which flew the banners, told HuffPost. Basically, she said her parents immigrated from Cuba in the 1960s and they know what a dictator looks like because of Fidel Castro, basically. Trump and his sycophants are authoritarian, completely offensive. They stand for what's completely contradictory to this country's ideals. She said that she contacted Aerial Messages, the Florida company which was responsible for flying the aerial banners, and said that the firm's chief executive, Remy Collin, was really enthusiastic about the project. But ultimately, the messages did not work. The Senate failed to find the two-thirds majority required to convict Trump of the impeachment charges, which were related to the deadly Capitol riot on January 6th. But Trump has faced fierce opposition from some locals to his decision to live in Florida after leaving the White House. His neighbors in January took legal action requesting that Palm Beach authorities instruct the squatter to live elsewhere on the grounds that the resort was a members club which did not allow for permanent residence. But officials said that they would reach a decision in April. Two other anti-Trump banners were also trailed over the former pr over over the over the former squatter's Mar-a-Lago resort in January. One of the banners had read that Trump is the worst squatter ever, which is true, while the second read, "Trump, you pathetic loser, go back to Moscow." But Colin, the chief executive at Aerial Messages, told HuffPost that his company was responsible for those, and I would love to give them an honor, like a medal. Give them a fucking medal, they deserve it. I'll leave that one open, I might do a video on that on my YouTube channel. And I'm not the only one that called off either, because my brother called off too. He was trying to do Uber, and because of Uber, and I'm like, well, I'm not. I think my brother was supposed to work nine was he was supposed to work 9:30 to like 4, and I was supposed to work 9 to 3. I'm like, well, we both called off. I said, because we can't get out. But I don't know about his place where he's at, if he can get out or not. But he can't get an Uber ride because nobody wants to take the chance in this type of weather to drive. So he had to call off. So whatever hours I lose today, I would have to make up tomorrow and possibly Friday, and he would have to make up whatever hours that he didn't work, because you don't get paid for not working unless you're on vacation, which I'm not, so. And we're still waiting on that fucking stimulus check thing, and I haven't really heard much of anything else. But if we do get it, I was ho told that we're looking at March possibly. Let's see what this one's about. There's an article here that says the Republicans have a gambling problem. Let's see what that's about. Oh, yeah, that's probably true. Okay, here's what it says, because I'm just reading it. The Republican Party is, in theory at least, grounded in conservative ideals for the entirety of the 21st century. Though what has defined the party's politics has been a series of high wire acts, constantly pursuing political gain and hoping the costs won't be too high. These gambles have cost the country billions of dollars and thousands of lives. The 43 votes to acquit the former squatter Donald Trump are just the latest high stakes risk with no reward and potentially the one with the biggest consequence. Basically, people came a political age in the immediate aftermath of the Republican Party led charge to war in Iraq. The neoconservative wing ruled that it was sure that it was a set of loaded dice, convinced that the people of Iraq would welcome us as a liberator. Instead, what people got was a war that cost an estimated $2.2 trillion by 2013, and a less stable Middle East. But we saw the rise of the Islamic State terrorists a decade later, and the evaporation of the budget surplus that Republicans had been left in that had that the Republicans had been left in January of 2001. It's a wager that the party has done its best to shove down the memory ha, to have shoved down the memory hole in recent years, highlighting Trump's belated opposition to forever wars, without noting who started those wars anyway. Yeah, but still, yeah, but they got a gambling problem. That's what they're saying here. I might leave that open too, because I might do a video on that too. But yeah. Yeah, there's really not much going on right now. I said I'll probably read my book, finish that up, and then I'll probably will mention it on my YouTube channel what book I'm going to be starting next. So.